Welcome to Strategic Renewal. I'm Doreen Milano, and today we're diving into the shifts and strategies that help leaders reinvent themselves and their businesses. This is Strategic Renewal on Now Media Television. Welcome to Strategic Renewal. I'm Doreen Milano, and one of the greatest misconceptions in business is that growth starts with strategy. In reality, lasting transformation often begins with the business owner. When leaders renew their mindset, they reconnect with their purpose and realign their priorities, their organizations begin to evolve as well. I am so honored to have today's guest, Nicole Anderson. She's the CEO of Mend HR Solutions. She's an entrepreneur, a nonprofit founder, an author, and a nationally recognized advocate for organizational excellence and social impact. Nicole has built successful organizations while simultaneously leading initiatives that create meaningful change in the lives of others. Her journey demonstrates what is possible when business success and personal purpose work together. Nicole, welcome to Strategic Renewal.
Hi, Doreen. I'm really happy to be here and happy to have this discussion with you.
So as we begin, I invite our listeners and our viewers to ask themselves, is my business reflecting who I am or who I used to be? And so we're going to start this first segment by exploring the connection between personal growth and business transformation. Nicole, what does strategic renewal mean to you, both as a business leader and an entrepreneur?
Well, I think as you said in the opening, not all growth started as strategic, because a lot of us don't know strategy when we're first getting into it. But as you progress and you progress through this life on a personal level, and then you progress in the business world and as an entrepreneur, I think that strategy becomes really important to, one, stay focused, and number two, to stay in line with the goals that you have set for yourself. And strategically speaking, for growth, I think you do need to have a plan. I think you need to know where exactly you're going to be headed. I don't think 5 to 10 year goals and strategy are necessarily important, but at least in the short near term, to have some kind of strategy for personal growth and for your business growth.
I agree with that. So, you know, what I notice when I'm talking to entrepreneurs is that many business owners focus on fixing the business before they look internally and start looking at who they are as a leader and a business owner. What space is that still going on?
Oh, yeah, I would definitely agree. I learned early on when I started my journey as an entrepreneur in the HR and recruiting field as a consultant that, you know, companies would call me in. They're like, I need to fix my organization. And I would get into those organizations and I'd be like, well, these employees work really hard. They're doing the best they can. They have all these things. And then throughout the process, we find out that it's actually the entrepreneur that is mostly the problem. And a lot of it is expectations, right? Like entrepreneurs feel that people who come into their business should work the way that they do. And, you know, that's not necessarily the case. They're working for you. They do have lives. This wasn't their journey. They didn't come in to work 14, 15, 16 hour days the way you were. And so your demands are not equating to what the culture is in the organization. So I find it very often that usually the entrepreneur is the problem. And so that's when I would typically bring in a coach of some sort to work with the entrepreneur while I work with the employees and the staff, so that we are able to, you know, combat two things at once within an organization.
That's awesome. So in that process,
As we know, when we work with business owners, we learn a ton. We're not just imparting ideas and solutions to the business owner. We are learning ourselves as we go through that process. So I'm kind of curious, how has your own leadership evolved since launching Mend HR Solutions?
Well, I think in the beginning, I was a lot about I, like, I need this done. I work this hard to get this plate, to get this done, because your pride, right? Like, your pride and ego is in it. You've built something. And over the years, I had to learn to, you know, incorporate my team as a we. And everyone that was involved in my growth. I mean, I even considered my daughter and as part of that. I mean, she sacrificed more than I did while I was building my organization. So she's included in that. And I think once I changed my mindset from, you know, this is mine, this is what I built, to this is what we've built. You've stuck with me through the bad times, the hard times. And I just changed that mindset. And I think the growth in that from a personal development changed how my organization run. It also changed how I worked in other people's organizations and how much more I understood the employee-employer relationship after having my own organization.
So in this process, what signs indicate that a leader may need personal renewal before pursuing business growth?
So my main look from my perspective is usually from turnover. If your organization is losing people left and right, if there's a lot of tension in an organization, the culture is just, the morale is bad. And I'm not talking morale because we don't serve breakfast every day or, you know, give employee lunches. I'm talking morale where people just generally are only coming to get a paycheck, because it's just an awful place to work. I think that those are some of my red flags in an organization. Turnover is my number one red flag. Like, I need to understand turnover, understand why people are leaving an organization. And if you've solved all the problems, pay, benefits, and things like that, and people are still leaving their organization, it's usually the leader. Gallup does polls annually on organization or from organizations and employees. And the number one reason that people leave an organization is leadership. Pay is usually 5 or 6 down. It's how they treat it, how they feel, how much work, how much burnout, what the expectations of them are. And I think we've moved past this expectation that employees should work 12, 13, 14 hours, right? But as an entrepreneur, you know, like, we work those hours. Sometimes, you know, you work 24, 36 hours, you know, with like maybe an hour or two sleep because you're trying to pay the bills. An employee didn't sign up for that. And if we're setting those expectations of our employees, it's one of my first indications that a company is not ready for growth.
Well, this is not something that you and I talked about ahead of time, but you know, one of the things that I think is really important is that an employee needs to be able to see themselves growing as a human, as a person, and their skill sets need to be growing so that they are actually moving farther into their career path.
Oh, yeah, I would agree.
I see a lot of business owners not look at their employees from that perspective.
They definitely don't. They definitely don't. And you know, we can talk generationally here, right? Like, there's a few things with generations that do affect the workplace. And you know, the work ethic for your baby boomers and a lot of your Gen Xers, are their work ethic is sick, right? Like, it is, you know, they come in on time, they leave on time, or they stay late, they get the job done, they do what needs to do. And as that shifted into the millennial Gen A groups that are now in the workforce at full force, it's more of a work-life balance. And so the employees are dictating kind of, you know, where they want to be and what they want to do. And Setting it up from an entrepreneur standpoint, again, most entrepreneurs have a sick work ethic and trying to adjust to how much we have employees work, but there are individuals that want growth, like the newer generation, like they want to come in and they want to move in an organization really fast. If you don't have a growth plan for them within a year or so, like they're ready to jump ship and go look somewhere else. Like it's pretty powerful, the statement they're making and forcing organizations to have some type of growth strategy and plan for them.
Well, can we be honest? We kind of created that. We were not there in the formative years, and that's what they wanted. So they're going to make sure that they're not going to live their life the way that we demonstrated to live your life.
Absolutely. Right? I mean, I see it all the time. A lot of my clients, the owners are, you know, some of them are older, so they don't see the world the same way as somebody who's a younger generation. And balancing those is how companies are going to be able to grow strategically in the future.
I think that's absolutely critical. And from that perspective, I want us to just notice that business transformation also often begins long before a strategic plan is ever written. It begins with the leaders willing to grow themselves first. So we're going to be right back to discuss culture, people, and creating organizations that actually thrive, which I'm totally interested in. So we'll be right back.
We'll be right back with more insights on renewing your focus, your energy, and your path forward. This is Strategic Renewal on Now Media Television. And we are back. I'm Doreen Milano, and you're watching Strategic Renewal on Now Media Television. Let's continue exploring what it means to embrace change and grow with purpose.
Welcome to Strategic Renewal. I'm Doreen Milano, and we have the pleasure today of discussing all kinds of fun things with Nicole Anderson. Stay with us. The strongest organizations understand that culture isn't an accident. It's a leadership decision. So I'm back with Nicole. And as CEO of Mend HR Solutions, Nicole has helped organizations strengthen their workforce, improve leadership effectiveness, and create healthier workplace cultures. So Nicole, why is organizational culture often the missing piece in business transformation?
I believe that sometimes the culture and an organization don't start up front with what their culture is going to be, what their mission is, and what their values are. And I believe that you bring in employees and they decide what the culture is, they decide what the mission is, they decide what the value of the organization is. They come in and they do that because you're not setting the tone for the organization up front. And if the ship's not going in the same direction, you're going to have issues. You're going to have problems. You're going to have people who believe the company needs to go in this direction when you're trying to get it to go in this direction. And so it impedes on the growth. So I think if an organization is starting soon, are starting up, or even if you've been in business for 10 or 15 years, it's okay to like reevaluate everything to get to a growth and a scale perspective. Companies can't grow unless they have a strategic plan. Like, what are you going to do? Are you going to sell new projects? Are you going to, you know, products? Are you going to sell new services? What is going to get you to that next level of growth or scale? And I think that strategically planning that, and that involves the culture within an organization.
I think you're absolutely right. I mean, when I started my career doing corporate turnarounds, the number one thing I found was that the culture shifted to an employee-led culture unbeknownst of the owner and necessarily C-suite recognizing that culture shift. and they were wondering why they were losing money. So those kinds of activities and understanding is really critical for the owner to recognize, don't you think?
Oh yeah, 100%. I mean, when I go into an organization, I can definitely tell the difference between an employee-led culture and an organization-led culture. You can tell by how people are working, job descriptions, job expectations, all of those things. Like you can really understand the difference between the two. And an employee-led culture sometimes leads to a lot of animosity, a lot of toxic culture, a lot of problems within an organization that's going to prevent you from hiring new people to expand on that growth. And I think it's really important that business owners identify, like, who's setting the tone of my organization? Am I allowing the employees to do it, or am I doing it myself? And a lot of it comes down to accountability.
I totally agree with that statement. What I've seen happen in the actual workforce and the marketplace is that when employees are leading the culture, it is easy for that to slip into the most disgruntled employee leading the culture rather than the highest producer leading the culture.
Oh yeah, I agree.
So when that's going on, that's going to create issues within profitability. It's going to create issues within retention. It's going to create issues with your ability to build trust and really engage not only with your employees, but your client base.
Yeah, it is. It's that toxicity bleeds over into your clients, into your customers, right? From a bad culture. Because your employees are going to treat your customers the same way that they treat everybody else. So, I mean, it's definitely, from a customer service standpoint, it will definitely hurt your business if you have an employee-led culture that is not living up to the mission, vision, and values that you originally set with the organization when you started it.
So how important is it to have these check-ins from the owner and or the C-suite into what's really happening in the organization as far as cultural alignment?
Well, I think, you know, a lot of employers will do the employee engagement surveys and things like that. And, you know, employees have lost all kinds of faith in those, because they say that they do stuff and a lot of times they don't, you know, follow up with an action plan or anything to resolve what the employees are complaining about. But I think the most of it is for the C-suite to be present. Like, I know the C-suite is busy and, you know, has a lot going on as well. They're trying to keep the company alive. They're trying to, you know, find new business, new products and things like that. But to be present, checking in on staff, checking in on their leadership that's running the day-to-days of the staff, actually engaging and being a part of the team with the team, whether that's once a month or once a quarter at least, to be able to get down at the level. One of the things that was ironic for me as I grew up in the ranks of human resources is every time I was with a new organization, I'd go out and sit I'd spend 2 or 3 weeks sitting at the desk of employees in different roles. And I would learn what they were doing, what was important to the organization and why they were doing the things that they would do. And I would find so much insight into how processes were broken, how, you know, something took too much time to get to where it needed to be. And I could take that information to leadership during our executive meetings and say, hey, listen, here's some of the things that your employees are struggling with. How can we make this better? How can we fix it? And I think just being present with employees over a period of time helps them build trust and engagement, because you know what? They are, like, they're smart and maybe even smarter than you are as an entrepreneur. They just don't have the drive or desire to become a business owner, but they can solve a lot of the process problems of efficiency and effectiveness if you just listen to them. And so I think that the presentness of a C-suite is one of the most valuable and most important things that an organization can do. I don't care if you're a $1 billion organization or if you're $100 a year organization, like you should be present or make yourself available at times for your employees.
The things that is really important here, and I think some of the what you're really saying here, Nicole, is you have to be willing to trust the people that are telling you that something's wrong. And you have to be willing to dig into that, whatever that is.
Right. And, you know, sometimes you have to be okay with the answer, right? Like I always tell people, don't ask questions you're not, like you're scared to hear the answer to, right? So I do not ask questions I don't want to know an answer to. I will not. And I've made that a rule and a habit in my life as leadership and my life, and my personal life as well. But if you ask a question, you have to be prepared to get an answer that you're not okay with. You do. You have to take your ego out of it. You have to take your pride out of it. You have to take, because at the end of the day, it is possible that the answer is something you've done. And you have to be able to work through that. And I think that builds trust if you acknowledge, okay, yeah, I failed at this. I haven't been the most effective and efficient at this. And then you work with your staff to fix it and you make it okay. You make it better. And that builds trust, that builds individuals that are willing to stand with you and help with your strategic growth and where you want to go. But if you don't fix those things, they're just going to get bigger as the bigger you grow. Like that's what's going to happen. And they're just going to follow you along in your journey. It's going to be a thorn in your side the entire time. And you just have to, fix it before it gets there.
So one of the things that I've noticed, Nicole, is that a lot of companies are not big enough to have a human resources department and they need one desperately. What role does human resources really play in helping the business owner create a long-term business success quotient?
So I think that this is a double-edged sword. My whole career has been human resources, but I've also seen the detriment that human resources can play on an organization, right? Because they're most HR individuals are process oriented, right? They're in a mindset of this is a process. This is the way we're going to go. Here's the policy. We must follow the policy. We must stay consistent. It's a very cookie cutter. You can take HR from one organization to the other. What happens is that it's very hard for leaders to find human resources that are strategic partners. Now, that role has grown in the last few years where a lot more HR individuals are coming in with entrepreneurship backgrounds, coming in with business owner backgrounds, and coming in and being able to strategically help. There's degrees now that are organizational development, strategic planning, legal master's degrees in human resources, and different things that can help an organization go from just being the mundane HR role to growing into the HR role being very strategic. The problem is a lot of owners see HR as non-revenue generating. So they don't invest in human resources because it's not bringing in money. And that's usually the catalyst of what I get from a lot of my owners is like, well, HR, you know, HR doesn't bring me any money. And I'm like, but if you have a strategic HR person, that's exactly what it does. It brings you in money because one, your turnover is reduced.
We're going to stop right here and we're going to take a commercial break. We get to recognize that culture impacts everything from retention to productivity to innovation and customer experience. After the break, we get to discuss purpose-driven leadership and creating impact beyond business success. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back with more insights on renewing your focus, your energy, and your path forward. This is Strategic Renewal on Now Media Television. And we are back. I'm Doreen Milano, and you're watching Strategic Renewal on Now Media Television. Let's continue exploring what it means to embrace change and grow with purpose.
Welcome back to Strategic Renewal. I'm continuing my conversation with Nicole Anderson, and now we are focusing on something that sets her leadership journey apart. That thing is purpose. In addition to leading successful businesses, Nicole is the founder and CEO of Love Inspiring Life, a nonprofit dedicated to combating sexual exploitation and trafficking through education, advocacy, and survivor support. Many leaders eventually discover true fulfillment comes not from building successful businesses, but from creating meaningful impact. Nicole, I am so curious as to what inspired you to launch Love Inspiring Life and dedicating yourself to this important mission?
So as a survivor of childhood sexual abuse, I always knew that I was going to have some sort of advocacy in the space. I wasn't exactly sure what that looked like or where it was going to go or travel to. I had to get my life together first. I had to do a lot of healing and a lot of work to get to a place where I could have discussions and I could, you know, be an asset to survivors instead of, you know, trauma dumping each other and making their recovery worse. So I had to, it took many years to go through healing processes, and I built my business, and I realized about probably year five or six of my business, I was ready to start the impact and purpose of what we were doing. And that's when I created Love Inspiring Life. And it's about, you know, very much so about love, right? About loving on those who have been in such terrible situations. And if anybody could understand these men, women, and children that have been victims, it was me. And so that's how we launched Love Inspiring Life.
That is amazing. Why is purpose such a powerful driver of resilience and motivation?
I used to look at success as freedom, right? Like freedom of, you know, go do what I wanted to do when I would do it, make my own schedule, make my own money, be able to travel when I wanted to travel. That was my version of success, because I came from a working poor family. So I saw my parents, you know, live paycheck to paycheck and really struggle to survive as children. And so they didn't get to go do much. And that's what I thought success was, right? Was not having to live paycheck to paycheck. When I realized that being able to serve others was the success that my heart desired, I realized that purpose was bigger than anything I could create in the business world. And being able to strive really hard to and be resilient and just keep moving and keep going and overcoming the things that I overcame, I was blessed with the life that I have now. And, you know, I have a life verse, Romans 8:28, which is all good things for those who believe in the Lord. And, you know, that's Nicole paraphrase. I don't need anybody like coming at me because it wasn't perfectly phrased. But it turns bad things into good. And I think that being able to have that purpose and is the success and the success that my heart and the fulfillment. And so I chose that service and serving others was more important to me than millions and billions of dollars in the bank.
Well, actually, that's a really beautiful sentiment as to how you were able to navigate from pain and trauma through to how to create success in your business and make it a purpose-driven business. So that was a really beautiful understanding of where you are today. Do you think other entrepreneurs can really align their business goals with causes that they deeply care about? Because I'm not seeing that happen on average with a business owner.
I think it's imperative. We live in an advocacy culture now. Going back to the generations, right? Like the generational differences. And there's a lot of younger individuals that are more aware of the things that are going on in the or in the world. And they're able to voice those opinions to people who have money and who have the ability to make those changes. And I think that an organization, and, you know, I think we get it mixed up that an organization is like, if they choose anything, it means that they're political or taking a side. And I think that there are a number of causes that organizations can be involved in that have no political divide whatsoever. Sexual abuse and sex trafficking and sexual exploitation, like there's no political driver there. Like you're trying to do better for humanity. Hunger, child hunger, right? Like I don't see where somebody can construe that as political, whether you believe that whatever the cause is. And so there's a number of things, back to school drives, that give kids supplies in areas that are less fortunate than others. Like there's just so many causes that don't reach the political, religion, or anything spectrum that an organization can do to drive purpose. And when they drive purpose, they drive great employees who want to be on board with those purposes. I think at each of my organizations that I worked at when I was a W-2, the one thing I did was drive philanthropy. I drove doing causes bigger than what we had. And most of it was around hunger, right? Was homelessness and ending hunger. And because there's not a city that I've been to that doesn't struggle with those issues. And so my last organization, it was a big push from us. And so I think that inviting that into your organization can really help with great talent. It can help bring people that's going to help drive. And then you're going to be more profitable in the business world. And I don't mean just in money, more profitable in the business world with having a drive for purpose. Because when you step outside of money as your driver, the success looks completely different.
Absolutely. So what I'm hearing you say, Nicole, is that businesses don't have to follow your footsteps and create a nonprofit. They can align with an existing nonprofit and support that existing nonprofit through activities that they do or activities that their employees can participate in. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, there's a phenomenal tool called Charity Navigator. And you can go on and research. And I do challenge to do the due diligence, because not every business is legit, right? So Charity Navigator walks you through the annual reports, the financials of a nonprofit organization, and helps you really decide. They give a rating as well, like, this would be a great organization to partner with versus this would be a terrible organization to partner with. And so I do think that doing due diligence and being smart about it, but you don't have to go out and do all of the business stuff and nonprofit things, but you can partner with not existing nonprofits. There's so many. I would challenge organizations to do local nonprofits instead of the large nonprofits that are national. Local nonprofits seem to struggle the most with being able to get grants and fundraising and things like that. And Charity Navigator can help navigate through that.
Brilliant suggestion. I love that suggestion. I've been members, an employee in several organizations where the philanthropic perspective of the company was driven by the employee base. So employees could actually vote for the philanthropic outreach for that year based on the things that the employees wanted to actually do. Whether it was tournaments or whatever it was, but it was really driven by the employee base.
Yeah, we would, every employee got the opportunity to nominate, right? And when they, whatever group that they nominated, we would do our due diligence and research, and we would narrow it down to, you know, 3 to 4 local nonprofits. That was the requirement. It had to be local in the city that you were in. And then from there, we would send out a vote. We would list the 5, send out a vote, and the employees would always make the decision. And 9 times out of 10, every time it was an organization led to help with children. And that is where the heart of some of the organizations went to. But I mean, it doesn't, like you said, it doesn't always have to be that if it's employee led.
Absolutely. So purpose gives success deeper meaning and often provides the energy needed to navigate challenges and uncertainty. We're going to take one final break and return to discuss legacy renewal and what's next.
We'll be right back with more insights on renewing your focus, your energy, and your path forward. This is Strategic Renewal on Now Media Television. And we are back. I'm Doreen Milano, and you're watching Strategic Renewal on Now Media Television. Let's continue exploring what it means to embrace change and grow with purpose.
Stay tuned to Strategic Renewal and every Now Media TV favorite streaming worldwide. As we conclude today's conversation with Nicole Anderson, I want to focus on legacy. The most impactful leaders understand that success is not a destination. It is an ongoing process of growth, learning, renewal, and contribution. Nicole, what role has reinvention played throughout your entrepreneurial journey?
I can't even count on I can count on more than 2 hands how many times I've had to reinvent myself. Growing up in a small town, working poor family, survivor of child sexual abuse. I think that, you know, there was things that I had covered for many years, and that they were coming out in other ways. They were coming out in, how I led people, my relationships, friends, family, things like that. And I was like, there has to be a different way to do this. And I reinvented myself. And then things in life happened, and I had to reinvent myself and heal from that. And then I think the largest reinvention was 7 years ago when my mom passed away, and learning to walk this life without her, I think was one of the biggest reinventions and reformation of who I am and how I'm going to get through the rest of my life without my mom being here. I think that was the biggest one. And I think if we blind ourselves to believe that we never have to reinvent ourselves, we're doing ourselves a disservice, because there are people around you that depend on you being the greatest possible version of yourself, whether that's your family and friends or a team of employees, an organization. In my case, I have a lot of people that are depending on me to be the best version of myself so that I can lead them to safety. I can lead them to security. I can, you know, guide them on this journey through life. So I think reinvention is something that you should expect and something that you should do yourself, whether that's through therapy, spirituality, religion, whatever that looks like. I think reinvention is huge for growth.
So what advice would you give a business owner who feels stuck or disconnected from their original vision?
The first thing I would tell them is therapy. I would tell them hands down, they need to go see a therapist. And they need to learn ways to be more mindful, ways that they can, you know, heal some of the traumas that they've had over their life. And, you know, I'm not taught, it doesn't have to be big traumas. It doesn't have to be anything crazy trauma, but, you know, trauma looks different on everybody. And I think that in order for entrepreneurs to be able to move forward in their growth and be able to do the things that they need to do, they need to heal that inner person within them. And mindfulness is huge for me. It's, you know, going back to new skills and behaviors that I'm taught on a regular basis, and discipline. I think discipline is a huge tool is start small. You don't have to start big, but starting small, you don't write in a journal. Well, tomorrow you're going to write in a journal and you just write one word and eventually you're writing a book. So.
Introspection, I think, is huge on any entrepreneurial journey. I think we also always have to take a look at who we are, who we're becoming, and how it's showing up in our lives. Renewal is a cornerstone of how we create success in our lives. So how can entrepreneurs balance achievement with personal well-being and fulfillment? Because a lot of entrepreneurs right now, a lot of business owners are feeling overwhelmed. They're feeling stuck. They're feeling like there's not enough time. And so they are not growing their businesses at the level that they could be. So how can entrepreneurs balance achievement?
Well, the best advice that I ever got was the work's going to be there tomorrow. Like it's the best advice I think I've ever gotten as an entrepreneur. And if I didn't take care of myself, nothing was going to be there tomorrow. If I didn't get sleep, I was eventually going to burn out. My teams were going to burn out. My organization was going to burn out. And my clients weren't going to get the best version of me. And so while I always say, well, I just don't have time. I don't have time. I don't have time. I had to change that behavior to where, you know what? It's going to be there tomorrow. The same problem, the same issue. So you know what? I'm going to go home at 5 and I'm going to spend time with my daughter. I'm going to go home at 5 and take my daughter out for dinner, go on a date night or whatever that looks like. And I think that in doing that and learning that over the last few years, I'm now up to, I take Sundays fully off. I do not work on Sundays. If I do work, it's on things that I love to do and that I don't have to do, but I choose to do it. But I don't do any business related work to my companies on Sunday. I just take that day for myself and my family. And we go do fun things. We go to church or we go to dinner. We go horseback riding, whatever that looks like. Because I learned very early on that if I kept down the same path, I was going to make myself sick. And then I wasn't any good for anybody else.
When people look back on your work and contributions, what do you hope that they remember most?
I hope that they remember that I was an advocate for them. I hope that they remember that I served them and I served them well. I want them to be able to take an example from me and go serve others. And so I want them to be able to say, well, she served me. I'm going to go serve this person. I'm going to be grateful that she took the time away from her life. So I'm going to do the same and I'm going to keep passing it on. That's what I want people to take from me and from my legacy. And to know that, you know, if they've never felt love in their life, when they met me, they felt that they were loved. And I think that that is the biggest place that I want to be remembered for. And I think that part of my legacy is going to be standing up for the little person, standing up for the underdog. And I want them to have success because I stood in the way of the things coming at them.
So Nicole, if you look at our entire conversation that we've had here today, which has been absolutely fabulous, it's been enlightening. And I think you've given several hints to business owners as how they can navigate growth and their personal journey. What is the number one golden nugget you think everybody should walk away with?
Well, I always want to say Jesus is probably the nugget that I want everybody to walk away with. But I think the biggest nugget is to give yourself a break, to cut yourself some slack. The fact that, you know, the uncertainty plays such a role in our lives every day. We know the only two things that are certain, right? And so to cut yourself some slack, to give yourself a break, to understand that you are human, that things happen, bad things happen. Perfectionism isn't going to get you any further. And to really take a moment and serve somebody else, to put things in perspective, for you, go to another country, go see the people who are less fortunate than you, that they don't survive off of perfectionism. They don't survive off of everything going right all the time. And I think that those types of things put your life in perspective. And I'm not talking go stay in a 5-star hotel in another country. I'm saying actually, or here within our own country, right? Like going to a different city and just watching and serving. And that's the biggest nugget I have is to serve and to give yourself a break.
I love that. So Nicole, if viewers would like to learn more about Mend HR Solutions, Love Inspiring Life, and your work, where can they contact you?
So we're on Instagram, Love Inspiring Life. It's the same handle as the name. Guarding Innocence is also a handle for us on Instagram. We are, mine is Nicole Anderson 5. I have LinkedIn, which is Nicole Anderson 5 HR. You can connect with me there. An email address is info@mendhr.com. But most importantly is my new book, or actually I have two books being released this year. So I have a book, The Shape of What Survived, which tells my entire journey up until this point, as well as Grief in God, working through grief while being angry that things didn't turn out the way that you wanted them to.
Awesome. Well, thank you for joining us and sharing your insights on leadership, renewal, organizational culture, and purpose-driven success. At Strategic Renewal, we believe every business transformation begins with a personal one. When leaders renew their mindset, reconnect with their purpose, and embrace growth from the inside out, they create stronger businesses, healthier teams, and more meaningful lives. I'm Doreen Milano. And thank you for watching Strategic Renewal. We'll see you next time.